This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Well, coming to you from the Arctic on this Monday, we do a podcast. We call it the Alaskan Post-Game Podcast. What up?
Good morning, Jerry. Now, in the warm-up show, which comes after the post-game, now a lot of people ask me throughout the year, they'll go, why does the, if the warm-up show is done first, time-wise, then why is it second in the podcast? And I say to those people, because the post-game podcast was a thing before the warm-up show was a thing. So for those people that just like the post-game podcast, I like to put it first.
Makes sense.
And then if you like that and you want to stick around for the warm-up show, then it's tacked on to this recording.
Right on.
Now, in the warm-up show, which comes after the post-game podcast, you mentioned that you had a dream.
Yes, right.
That you wanted to share with the audience.
This is how I woke up this morning.
All right.
And what's fascinating to me is that I remember, not vividly where I remember everything, but I remember little bits and pieces of it. And I don't understand a whole lot. All I know is this was the dream. Torpedo goes into the lake. I see the torpedo coming towards me.
You're in a boat on a lake?
That's what's weird.
Okay.
To where I jump on the hood of my car, which for whatever reason is floating in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
Torpedo explodes. Car gets shot up into the air, back down into the lake, and I've got severe burns down my entire arm, to where a military captain then says to me, if you were in the water, you would have been burned alive. Your car saved you.
Is that right?
And I woke up.
What do you think that means?
I have no idea. I don't know what that means. Think about that, though. A torpedo, a lake, my car.
And severe
and burning.
Burns.
Weird.
Yeah, that would disturb me.
It was. But I was okay. I just had some minor burning on my, and I remember my left hand as I showed it to the military captain, whatever rank he was and whatever outfit he was from.
Let me ask you this. When you drove in today, were you a little more careful knowing that you had a dream about a car?
No, because you know what? I didn't think about it until we sat down. For whatever reason, it hit me when we were in here.
Dreams are very odd. We don't know what they mean, if they mean anything.
Right.
There are people that will tell you, because Gina always says this to me, that you represent every person in your dream.
Okay.
So you were the military captain and anybody else.
I was the
else.
Guy trying to kill me.
And you were the guy trying to kill you as well.
So weird.
Yeah, very strange.
So yeah, I thought that was interesting to share.
I would like to
what it means.
See that a cartoon version of you getting torpedoed.
Flying in the air on top of the roof of a car.
I would like to see that. Jerry, are you familiar with this, the most streamed show ever that I'm reading? Is currently on.
I thought it was Friends, not Friends.
No. There's a new champion, Jerry, something called Squid Game.
No, except I have seen people say on social media that they're going to watch it or they have appointment TV for it. I don't know what
it is. Correct. I didn't know what it is either. I've tried looking it up to figure out what it is, and I found a Fox News, I think it was Fox News article about it explaining what it is. And it's. First of all, I didn't know if it was a reality show or it was a scripted show.
Right.
It appears to be a scripted show.
Okay.
It's a South Korean show, which means it's in, I believe it was, it's originally done with South Korean voices.
Mm-hmm.
It's been overdubbed with American voices.
Okay.
And then you could also do closed captioning subtitles.
Okay.
But here's what Squid Game is. The plot focuses on a group of 456 people from all walks of life. Each of them has one thing in common. They are all in dire financial situations. So all these contestants. They are all invited to participate in a series of children's games, such as Red Light, Green Light, in the hopes of winning a massive cash prize. However, it quickly becomes apparent that the consequences for losing any of these kids' games is a brutal and untimely death. Many have compared the 9-episode series to The Hunger Games and Black Mirror, and due in large part to its commentary on the economic inequality that ravages the world.
This is the most streamed show?
Yeah.
And it's scripted, not real.
It's scripted, not real.
Not interested.
Me neither.
I mean, not even close to interested.
Me neither. But, and they said, this is the other interesting thing that I read, that it was all, I found this also in the same article, that most of the world, like Netflix is more popular around the world than it is in the United States.
Wow.
So imagine
how popular it is here.
Correct.
And so, this is a Netflix thing?
This is a Netflix series. It was a South Korean series that is now on Netflix.
Got it.
And that it was began getting popular around the world, and now it's getting popular here in America. But I'm with you. I'm not interested.
I'll pass.
I see Kevin over at the Barstool writing
about it. Maybe
that's
where I saw him.
He's really into it. I can't imagine. It's got too many things. I get very confused when I have a hard time watching things that are overdubbed in English.
Sure.
And I have a hard time reading things
with the subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Gina's one of these people now, and there's a bunch of them now that always have the subtitles on.
Oh yeah. I can deal with it.
Like even for
not
like
my favorite.
If she was watching Friends, she would have the subtitles on.
No, I don't want that.
I find it distracting because I'm reading instead of watching with the filmmaker or
you
television.
You definitely miss details.
You miss details.
Yeah.
100%. I can't miss details, Jerry.
I don't want to miss details.
Me neither.
I want to. You see this? You mentioned Friends. You see the picture of Matthew Perry last
week?
He
does not look good.
He looks like he's close to death.
Yeah, he does. He looks terrible.
Really sad.
Yeah.
And I know he looked bad on that Friends special. I didn't see it. I know my wife saw it and my son watched it.
But at least
it.
They were able to put makeup on him. And
even then, he didn't look great.
Dress
this
him up.
Looks like a different person.
Yeah, he's something going on. Yeah, something going on right now.
It looks
Jerry.
Like addiction is what it looks like.
Yes,
sadly.
For sure.
Not good.
So that's Squid Game, Jerry, if you're interested. Squid
you know, I'm
Game.
Not. I'm not.
You
I'm
are good. Not interested. All right. I got a couple of items here that I screen grabbed. People sent us looking for life advice.
Okay. One of the guys that has asked for some advice just bought a calendar.
Is that right?
Yeah, because Boomer plugged the email address, which
nice.
Was not in my mind, but...
That was nice. That was what great. Is the email address? Jerry...
It is RecoSportsLLC@gmail.com.
RecoSportsLLC@gmail.com. You email that there, and then if you want a calendar...
And then I send you the information.
You'll get
correct.
It. So a guy wrote to me and just said, I received this letter today from my son's school. Figured maybe this could be discussed on the podcast. My son is 5, so it doesn't really apply to me, but maybe Jerry has heard of this since his kids are older and in school.
Okay.
And the letter was sent home to parents. It says, Dear parents, you may be aware that on the social network service TikTok, there are several school-based challenges for students.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
I've heard of the TikTok challenges that happen.
Below, please find the TikTok challenge themes for each month. Note the language below is not mine. It is the exact language many students are exposed to on TikTok. September was vandalized school bathrooms. Now, I heard of a school where the bathrooms were vandalized. October is smack a staff member.
So what's the advice?
I guess the advice is just, let's see.
I mean, all I can tell you is, because things like this have popped up from time to time, and when you get wind of it, we certainly tell our kids, like, don't be a moron.
Right.
So my son's going to be 17, and from the time he was probably 4, or whenever he started going to friend's house, I would say 4 is probably when my wife was comfortable with another mom, where she would leave him for a couple of hours or whatever. My advice was always, for the last 13 years, don't do anything stupid.
Right.
Honestly. Like, you know, be responsible, be mature, don't do anything stupid. Like, I dropped him off the other night at a friend's house. I mean, again, he's almost 17, so you're getting really at the age of God knows what. And it's always, don't be an idiot, don't do anything stupid. Think twice, please. And I always tell him, like, you know, what you do is going to be a reflection of me now, too. And he knows that, I hope. But we would tell them, like, this thing is trending. Don't be stupid. You know, that's all you can do is sit down and talk to them. And this is where, and again, I'm not trying to make another quote. Please. This is where the whole trust factor is such shitty stuff. It's such bull stuff. Like, I know of kids that do really stupid things. And it's like, do you go tell the parents? What do you say? Then you try and tell the parents or have a conversation with them, and the parents have their heads so far up their own ass, and they're like, nah, you got that wrong, not my son. Okay, I got it. But you know what? The whole, it's hope. You teach your children as best you can, and you hope like hell that they've listened to you and they're going to do the right thing. I'm sure you didn't always do the right thing growing right up. And I'm sure your mom and dad were home there trusting, oh, little Albert, he's fine. Meantime, you're sitting there creating your own Playboy subscription.
Right.
And I'm sure they trusted you weren't looking at boobs and vagina. But there you were. Am I wrong?
No, that's dope. Yep.
So that's why trust is such a load of crap. It's hope.
So I guess that's what they're trying to do, is to send the letter home just to say,
have a conversation.
Yeah. And you're right. That's a good way to do it. Say, hey, I see this is going around. Don't get caught up in this.
I hope you're not
nonsense.
Stupid enough to do it.
Right.
But if you are, please think twice. This is a bad idea.
Yeah, this is a terrible idea.
All you can do is give them the information and hope they take it.
Right. All right, let's see, Jerry. We have another question of life advice.
Yeah.
Well, it says, I have a lifetime question. Yeah, you can say Ryan from Manhattan.
What's up, Rye?
I'm engaged in getting married next year in Italy. My fiance's family is from there, and she wanted to get married there. Not to disclose too much, extended family's opinions are differing from ours. How would you approach the situation? Extended family meaning stepmom and dad.
Yeah, leave.
Who are contributing and giving some money.
Tell them to go F themselves and go live your life.
Yeah.
It's a tough one because... You're asking them to go abroad for a wedding. Here's how I would do it. I would have another wedding here.
I like that idea.
Doesn't have to be one of these $100,000 weddings. I would do a wedding celebration.
Yes.
Here for family on the mainland.
I like that.
Because otherwise it's too much of an ask.
And you can't take offense if somebody doesn't come to your wedding.
Of course not.
In Italy.
I agree. I mean, I had a friend of mine, I'll never forget, he got married in, not Aruba, God damn it, Cancun.
Destination wedding, they call those.
And we couldn't wait to go. We were all in. But there were a few friends that, A, couldn't either afford it, or they had a newborn, they weren't comfortable leaving the baby. And I remember he wasn't mad or anything. He was disappointed, but he understood. I don't know about his wife. I have no idea. It is what it is. If you're going to get married somewhere that's a plane flight, a flight away,
yep.
Not everyone's making it. And you just got to deal with that.
Right. Not everyone's going to be able to come to it.
But I do think it would be cool to have a celebration here in New York.
Yes.
And invite me and Al.
That's a great idea. And if it's in New Jersey, specifically Bradley Beach, I'll probably show up.
That's right.
Okay. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this person's name.
Then don't.
All right, I won't say, although it's someone who writes to us quite a bit.
Okay.
Wink, wink. Right, here's a personal question for the podcast. This is very similar to the one we just read, Jerry.
Mm-hmm.
For the pod. Not about significant others, about family members and weddings. I was invited to my cousin's wedding in April. My cousin was in my wedding in September.
Mm-hmm.
He is getting married in Malta.
Oh, God. Where the hell is that?
In April, over Easter weekend, which is a 22-hour travel day.
Holy Jesus.
Since there is no direct flight. Not only do I have no interest in going to Malta, it's going to cost me $2,200 to get there and stay for 4 days.
Yeah.
And I would have to have a layover in
Istanbul. Oh, my God.
What do you and Jerry think is the respectful way to turn down a close family member's wedding that's really banking on everyone coming, which I don't think many people can afford?
A reply that says, thank you, but we cannot attend. Here's my check and my gift.
Right.
You're talking about someone not wanting to go to Italy or Cancun.
Right.
Could you imagine inviting people to Malta? How many people first have to go? I'm right here. Where the hell is Malta?
I don't know where Malta is.
I'm going to Google it right now.
He also writes, can you imagine what a layover in Istanbul is like?
No. Well, at the airport, yeah, I guess.
I don't even know where Istanbul is. Is that in Turkey?
I think. I don't know. Let's see. Let me find Malta first.
All right. You look for Malta first, Jerry.
All right. So Malta is south of Sicily.
Oh, is that it?
So it's in Italy?
Italy. Malta is? I would never have guessed that.
All right. So that's not so bad. But why has he got to stop in Istanbul? Can't you take a direct flight to Italy?
He says it doesn't go direct.
That's not true. You've been there. You take direct flights to Italy.
Yeah.
All right. Istanbul.
I have been to Italy. Like you go to Rome.
Right. Istanbul is by, I mean, I don't even know where this is. What is this? It's by Kortiz Gebsby. It's Turkey. Yes, it is Turkey.
Istanbul is?
Yeah.
So I knew Istanbul was in Turkey, but I didn't know Malta was in Italy.
How to fly to Malta from New... How to fly from Malta from the U.S.
Malta.
Are you sure it's in Italy?
Malta.
Is that true?
Well, who said it was
the quickest way to reach Malta is by plane? Yeah, because jogging wouldn't make any sense.
Well, that would never.
Travelers coming directly from the U.S. need to connect to Malta from a larger European city like Paris or Rome. All right, so you'd go to Rome. Why would you go to Istanbul?
I don't know.
Air Malta. Yeah, I'm not getting on that. I mean, eat it.
You're not getting on Air Malta, Jerry?
You know what's so weird about that is we were contemplating going to California if I could get the Cowboy game off for Thanksgiving. Just for like 3 days, see family. And like the best flight is like Air Alaska. I'm sure it's fine. I'm not getting on that either.
I went.
I know you did.
I flew to Air Alaska. It was terrific.
I'm sure it was. I'm not. I'm sure as hell not getting on. What was it?
Air Malta.
No thanks. Did you see the Spirit Airlines plane that caught fire the other day?
No.
It hit a bird as it was about to take off. It's a good thing he didn't take off, though. He recognized it.
He recognized he hit a bird?
Yes. These and there birds. Was a fire. They got everybody off the plane.
These birds got to get out the way. There's a big plane coming.
You are not big the bird coming.
The sky is big. Move.
You're right. You got plenty of room.
Here's one more relationship question, Jerry, for you. And again, if you want your relationship or life questions answered by Jerry and I, you can direct message me on Twitter or on Instagram. And right. I screen grab it.
Back
and
in the day, it was Two Live Crew. Now it's Two Live Boobs.
Two Live Boobs, Jerry. Hey, I have a relationship question. Al, I live a similar lifestyle to yourself, except I'm single. I eat just about the same meals every day, very systematic. I start work early, so I'm up early and in bed early. I'm just about 46 years old. I've had relationships in the recent past, but they don't work out because I'm happy living by myself. And I have a system that I don't like diverting too much from.
Separated at birth.
I go grocery shopping same time every week. Visit my mom, who lives in Connecticut, regularly. My question is, Al, how do you balance your relationship with your lifestyle? Most of the girls I've met in the past want more of a commitment than I'm comfortable with.
Sincerely, Sal from Colonia, searching for my biological parents.
This comes from Matthew from Fall River, Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
Well, Matthew, that's a very good question.
What was the question?
The question is, how do you
balance?
Likes his alone time. And
honest answer is, don't get married.
Right,
but
he's saying even in a relationship, how do you maintain a relationship?
Well, but you've proven that you can do that.
You
don't get
do
married
it.
And you live alone.
You can do it. You have to find someone who's also very independent.
Yep.
And I think the older people get that have been in that lifestyle themselves, the more they're comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
You could also, when I was working in Tampa many, many, many years ago, my friend Tom, who was a show I produced, he used to say to me, you know, Al, you should do what I did. Marry a flight attendant.
Because they're never home.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
He goes, they're never home.
As long as you don't mind what they're doing in these other cities and who they're doing it with.
He said that when they come back, you're all both excited to see each other.
Mm.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And then and the day she's not.
Right. That's a great point,
Jerry.
She
can't wait to get back on that plane.
Right. And go
to the same city she was just
right,
in.
Right. She's living a life where she's all over the place.
I've always thought married to, you know, a ball player, a guy in our business that travels a lot.
Yeah.
A flight attendant. Those have got to be. I know what you're saying, and you're probably right if I think you're at a point in your life where you don't give an F if they are doing something on the side. I think it's really hard to live that life and be completely faithful.
Yeah, unless somebody's old enough where they've had it with the lifestyle and they just
they're done.
Look forward to, you know, if you're a flight attendant, you look forward to landing, going to the hotel, relaxing, watching Netflix, right, getting on your flight.
If she turns out to be the type that she's a party girl when she's home, she's a party girl when she's around, when she's out. Or party guy. I mean, same difference.
Right, and partying with the pilots.
Yeah.
And the other flight attendants.
It doesn't take much.
No.
For it to go awry.
Meet us for a drink at the hotel.
Right. Next thing you know, you're up, your legs are in the air, and God knows what's happening.
Bing, bang, boom, you're pregnant.
And that goes for either the guy or the girl.
Right.
You know, it's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Yeah, not easy. I think the way you've done it is the right way for you to maintain your lifestyle.
Right.
I've always told you the first 3 weeks of me and Kim living together were eye-opening. It took us like a month to really get used to living with one another to where I thought 10 days in, I'm like, my God, this is a mess because we just did things differently.
Yes.
And to this day, it's 30 years later, we still do things differently. But kind of deal with it because it's been so long. I know how she likes things around the house, and she knows how, you know, it's what it is.
You still have a battle with how you load the dishwasher.
We don't, because we got a new dishwasher, and that took care of that.
It proved the winner.
Well, no, I don't think it's the right way to do it. I'm sorry.
You're right. You're both right. It's the proper way to load the machine based on the way the machine is built.
Correct.
And you're right in that you don't want to be taking out forks and knives and spoons by the head.
Correct. With your fingers that have the most germs on them.
Filthy.
Makes no sense.
And the part you're putting in your mouth.
Correct. Exactly. So, yeah, I get it, man. It's tough, especially at that age. He said he's 46.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it would be like you marrying someone now, and then a month later she finds out she had, you know, not that she found out, but her ex-husband took the kids and he don't want them anymore. And all of a sudden you become like a live-in dad or stepdad that you weren't prepared for.
Right.
Not easy.
Or you find a woman who's divorced who doesn't believe in marriage anymore because she's
too.
Been burned.
Now, I'm sure there's an app for that.
Absolutely. And then finally, Jerry.
Singlesthathatekids.com.
See if that's taken. When I came in this morning, Jerry, I couldn't help but notice you had many plastic cups lined up filled with water at your desk.
Yes.
And my theory was that this is your new way that you're going to assure that you drink enough water.
It's my, yes.
That when all the cups are done, then you've had your water for the day.
Yeah, it's funny. I came to the realization last night that I think I had one cup of water all weekend. I had a lot of Casamigos. I had multiple cups of coffee. I had a couple of Coors Lights. And I think I had, when I say, no, I had to take my vitamins both days. It's the only cups of water I drank. And I've said, like, what am I doing? Like, I know what I need to do.
Right.
And yet I just, in the summer, I do it. Once the weather starts to turn, it's like I forget to drink water. So I'm like, you know what? Rather than just bring a bottle and stare at it, I'm going to put out 8 cups of water.
When did you think of this? Before you
driving
arrived?
Driving in
silence?
Because I was going to buy, I was listening to Be Between Sal and 1010 Wins. I was back and forth. I was going to buy a bottle out of it because I forgot to bring it. So I was going to buy a bottle out of the vending machine. And I'm thinking, why do that? Like, why don't I line them up? Because I don't like ice cold water. I'd prefer it room temperature. Easier to just chug it. So I've got like half of a cup left. So I've had almost my 64 ounces now before I go home, and I feel the energy better.
So how many cups did you have lined up on your desk today?
8.
8 cups.
8 cups.
Okay.
And I'll do it again tomorrow.
And you're almost done.
Man, I see it, and I know the bottle's there. I get it. For whatever reason, the water just sitting there, it's just so easy just to grab it, chug it, done.
Right, and then when you chug the plastic cup, then you get rid of it.
Well, I put it underneath the next one.
Oh, okay. So you could see it, you could see yourself making progress.
Yes. It's so funny because I went to put them on the other side.
Yeah.
But that's where I got all the papers, and if one fell over, I didn't want to. And I actually thought, I'm like, oh, what jackass is going to say something about this? But I'm like, yeah, no one comes over here. And then I forgot you walk behind me.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny.
I saw when I first came in, then when I delivered you your sponsors for your updates.
One day down.
Okay.
This is my Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I got through one day. How many days have you gotten through?
My Hare Krishna?
Yeah.
I've done it twice. And not in a row.
So if I get through tomorrow, I've tied you.
Right. No, I like it. I like it. We got to do what we got to do. I feel the same way. Like, I woke up with a headache both days on the weekend, and it's because I'm not drinking water, and I'm realizing this.
More
I'm eating
salt.
Dinner out,
yeah.
Which is filled with salt and sodium,
yep.
Not drinking the water, and waking up with a headache.
And you're having your beer on the weekend.
Right.
on top of it.
Right.
It is. It's such a – it's. I was reading a lot about water consumption and what it does for the body and the lack of it, how it really harms
really
the body.
Bad.
So I'm really trying to make a concerted effort to get my – whatever I got to get in, 64, 72, whatever.
I hope it
minimum
works.
Minimum 64
it looks,
ounces.
It looks like it's working for you for one day. That's
well,
all
one
we
day
do.
Anyhow.
Take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
Let's do the warm-up program, Jerry.
All right.
We'll be back live with the warm-up show tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. on WFAN and on the Odyssey app. And we'll be previewing Yankees, Red Sox, and talking about the Raiders and the Chargers Monday night game. Plus more from the Giants and Jets. See if Luis Rojas survives the night. We'll see. Lots of stuff tomorrow at 5. So.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan on 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry. Don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
And it can suck on a winter Monday. I didn't even let Zach finish. I'm so excited. It's 5:02. What is up? What do you say? Eddie Scazzeri, hey, how are you? And all across from me, he's wearing his Buccaneer t-shirt. He's the front runner, but they did win last night, so you give him props for that. His name is Al Zach Dukes. What's up, man?
Good morning, Jerry. There's a lot of sports going on yesterday. I had a whole big sports weekend. You know, I did text you Friday night telling you I was indeed watching the Yankee game. They lost that. Then I saw the Yankees lost Saturday night.
Oh,
I was like, wow,
did.
These Yankees are going to screw themselves right out of the playoffs.
Yankees had themselves a hell of a weird couple of days.
Yeah, barely won yesterday.
Yeah. How about the fact, so because of the football, I wasn't on the Yankees as much as I would have liked to, so I just kept checking the score.
Same.
I get to it in the seventh inning as the inning's ending, and I see they have one hit. I'm like, one hit? That's it? But they won the game, all good, and now they get to go to Boston.
Jerry, rank the, I'll give you three options. You rank them in order of the biggest win yesterday. Yankees win 1-0.
Yeah.
Giants win in overtime. Jets win in overtime.
That's a good question.
Thank you.
yes, you're welcome. Let's see. I would have to say the Yankees won because they avoided a game with the Blue Jays, which would have been today had
all
they
right.
lost, especially
fair
with
enough.
Toronto blowing out whoever they were playing, Baltimore, whoever it was. So I would say Yankees won. I would say Giants too because here's why. Because they were down 21-10 in the fourth quarter, not to mention the fact the Saints had that touchdown called back. I'm not going to say a questionable holding call. They probably could have let it go. But the fact that they get that call and then they took full advantage, they were that close to being 0-4. And I think the expectations are higher for the Giants. For the Jets, I think an awesome, fun win. But I would rank it third because if they lost, all right, well, the Jets are still, they did some good things. You saw some progress from the quarterback. You could live with the Jet loss a lot more than the other two. That's the only reason why I put them three.
Fair enough, Jerry. It was a shocking football Sunday for the
locals. In a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways. First of all, I put only the Red Zone channel on because the Giants and Jets were both on at one.
At the same time, sure.
I said, I'm going to watch just the Red Zone channel and then when the 4 o'clock game starts, I'm going to go back and watch in fast forward the Jets and the Giants separately. Via the Red Zone channel only, Jerry, I had no feel for that Giant game.
Yeah, very difficult.
Zero feel. I had a feel for the Jet game, and then when the Jet game went to overtime, I flipped over to just the Jet game because all the
right.
other 1 o'clock games were over at that point. So it was very hard to get a feel. That's the one problem with Red Zone
I
channel.
I agree.
There are some games where it's very hard to get a feel for the game.
It's like what I've said to you many times. You come in here feeling like you know a lot about everything or a little of everything, but not a lot about anything.
Correct. And so that was what I found. But I was really rooting for Zach Wilson yesterday.
Yeah, I hear you.
I was really feeling it when he threw those those two bombs, Jerry, of over 50 yards each, especially the touchdown bomb where he motioned for Corey Davis to go deep.
Yes.
That looked like me, Jerry, when I was playing in the street two-hand touch, when I would direct my receivers. During the game, I'm directing receivers where to go.
I thought you were going to say you and you did the Adult Flag Football League and you got picked off by all the women.
No, I did not do well then. I did much better in the street. Two-hand
as
touch.
An automatic QB.
Well, we would do two-on-two.
Oh.
But I'd be the quarterback, Jerry, because I could direct the drive like Zach Wilson did, where I'm rolling. I'm not looking for a receiver to come back in to get the ball, Jerry. I'm saying deeper. Touchdown, Jets.
There you go. I hear you.
I feel good for Zach Wilson's mother on Instagram. She's taking a lot of heat,
I thought
Jerry.
She took a break.
She's back.
Did she come back during the game yesterday or after
the
game?
She came back after the game yesterday.
Aha.
Yep. Big
That's
win
timely.
For the Jets. Yeah, so I enjoyed that.
The best thing about the Jet game,
yeah.
No doubt, Zach was all that's great. Their defense, though, looks legit.
Too legit to quit.
You realize how many times they sacked Ryan Tannehill?
Sure, I actually took a note on that when I saw that. 7 times.
You know how many times they hit him?
Many times.
14.
And 5 of those sacks, Jerry, were on third down.
It's incredible, that's especially crucial. On the last drive.
Yeah.
No, they look like a legit NFL defense.
Yeah.
100%. And that keeps you in games at least. And if the quarterback continues to get a little bit better and they get healthier, who knows? Maybe they win a couple games.
Yeah, I was excited for him. I was happy to see it. Even though I bet against the Jets and I bet against the Giants, I was happy to take the loss.
Which you were. And just make sure my fader's up. I thought this was good because you mentioned the Jets and feeling good for them.
Yeah.
This was, so Quinnen Williams had a couple of sacks, a couple more quarterback hits. He was all over the place. His brother, I think, had a sack and a half as well. Here was Williams afterwards. You'd love to hear this, especially I thought this came through on TV as well.
First and foremost, man, the fans was electric today on third down, man. Every single third down we had, man, the stadium was rocking.
And just think about the difference of the feel these games have. You know, we talk about last year, no fans in most of the buildings, not all of them, but in most of the buildings. And it really was about making sure you were prepared and you had to psych yourself up to be in that game. Man, these fans back and these buildings full, these guys feel it for sure.
Jerry, that was Quincy Williams or
That was Quinnen. His brother Quincy had a sack and a half, I believe.
That guy, to me, like when I was covering the Buccaneers many years ago and I fell in love, Jerry, with John Lynch.
Right. This was after you fell in love with the Cowboys?
Yeah. This
and
is
before
after.
You fell in love with the Giants as they were winning Super Bowls.
Correct.
And prior to falling in love with the Jets with Rex.
Yes.
So somewhere in between
you
there you're talking
about. Nailed the timing exactly, Jerry, is when the Bucs were making their run to become, you know, the Super Bowl champions.
Right.
But John Lynch was a guy who I didn't know, but I saw this guy was in on every, I would see him involved
sure.
in every play. And that's what I wrote down. I was like, who's this number 56 on the Jets?
Like Ronnie Lott, involved in every play you felt like.
Yeah, this Quincy Williams, Jerry's involved in every play.
Yeah.
He was flying all over the place. He was in coverage. He was hitting dudes. He was hitting quarterbacks.
Good day for the Williams brothers.
Yeah, the Williams brothers had a nice day.
No doubt about it.
This is the first time I'm realizing they're brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah, I actually was not aware of that either until yesterday.
They both start with the letter Q, their first names.
They do.
Quincy and Quinnen.
Correct.
Do you know who's older?
I don't.
Are they twins?
I do not. No, they don't look like twins.
Oh.
They could be. I don't know. I can check for you right now,
I think
though.
If they were twins, we would know. Like, there would have been a feel-good story about the twins on the twin players.
Right,
on
like the McCourties.
Like the McCourty brothers.
Right, because they're twins. Let's
they
see.
They are twins.
So Quinnen was born in December of 1997.
Oh, my goodness, Jerry.
Quincy.
I was 27 years old when he was born.
And Quincy was born in 96.
Oh, so Quincy is a year older.
Correct.
He was killing it yesterday.
Yeah. How about that?
And then the Giants, it was good to see Saquon Barkley getting involved.
No
doing
doubt.
Something.
There was a lot of things here. Kadarius Toney involved.
Yeah,
you there,
young
you know,
Joker.
Funny. So, first of all, you've got the, what the hell's that kid's name on the Saints? The quarterback that's really a
Tyson
runner.
Hill.
So
Taysom Hill,
yes, not Tyson.
Mike Tyson Hill.
So he's got that touchdown run where he's just running over Giants.
Yeah, it was
and at that point, you're like, boy, the Giants are embarrassing themselves.
That was very embarrassing.
But the Giants did a really nice job in that fourth quarter, and Saquon Barkley once I don't know what the hell the cornerback was doing on that play where Jones finds him along the left sideline. He just blows right by the guy who didn't move. And then he scores, and he was so fired up. And you're like, you know what? They got a shot at this. Because no disrespect, but I watched Jameis Winston. He's fine. But I had no confidence that they were winning that game at that point. And they didn't. And they get the two-point conversion, three-point game. Like, yeah, they're winning this game. And they did.
I thought the Saints were supposed to be fired up. This was the first game back in the Dome, and I was going to mean a big game. Really?
It really didn't seem like that, did it?
It didn't have a vibe of a big game.
Not much of one. I agree with you.
No, right?
I totally agree with you on
that.
No
buzz, Jerry.
It was a quiet start to the game. I'm with you.
There should have been buzz. First of all, for both the Giants and the Jets and the Red Zone Channel, those first games, my neck hurts today from dozing off.
I don't disagree.
Like, it actually hurts.
I actually said to my producer for Compass Media Networks during the second quarter, I guess, I said, is it me? Or are these games just, I'm just not into it.
They start off so
boring.
Slow, the 1 o'clock games.
Yeah, I know. And the Cowboy game didn't. The Cowboy game had some scoring, yeah. And I didn't mean that one. I meant it with Red Zone on. I was just like, meh.
Right. It was a lot of But because the Giants and Jets didn't really get going until the second half or even
Agreed.
The fourth quarter.
Yeah, no question. Or even like the Bills-Texans game. Now, it turned out to be 40-0. But the Texans were hanging in there. They were terrible offensively, but defensively, they weren't giving the Bills much, and it was like 16-0, and you're like, God, if they could just do something or anything. But there was nothing to it. It was just like, whoa.
You're boring. You suck. That was one of those things, too, Jerry, with the Bills-Texans. You know, prior to the game, I was looking, I was like, what games do I want to get a little action in?
Yeah.
I was like, I do that 17 points seems like a lot, which is what the Bills were favored by.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a lot at all. No, not to, and I think to bet them to win, I think they were minus 1,900.
Is that right?
I might be overstating it. It was some ridiculous, maybe the minus 1,800. It was a ridiculous number to make any money on the Bills, to just win. So it was like, all right, why bother? But then you're like 17 points. I think I had it at 17.5. And I'm like, how is Houston scoring? That was my first thought. And then I'm like, well, they are good defensively, but you know what? It takes, Buffalo did what they had to do and whatever. They went. They probably could have won 60-0 if they wanted to.
Yeah.
So, but it was interesting. The best game of the 1 o'clock window, I really do believe, and I mean start to finish, not just the fourth quarter, because I agree with you. The Giant game was not great to watch until you got into the fourth quarter, and the Jet game got really good second half, probably more into the fourth quarter as well. The Washington Falcons game was the 1 o'clock game that I thought from beginning to end was entertaining because there had to be, I mean, there were several lead changes. It was up and down the field. They were kicking. They weren't kicking all these field goals. They were scoring touchdowns. That game to me was interesting. And the Eagles did something yesterday that you say, and I don't think you're wrong, like you got to score touchdowns, but they did have one drive. I thought just kick the field goal to start the game. And listen, it didn't come back to burn them because they wound up losing late. But I did agree with them the rest of the way. They were like, we need seven. We need seven. We need seven. They just couldn't defend Kansas City.
Yeah.
And so, but, it was interesting. And now, week four almost in the books.
And you know what sucks, Jerry? The Jets, I feel like, are on a one-game roll. Now they got to go to London. That's stupid.
Yeah. To play the Falcons.
Come on.
Now, as an NFL guy, here's what not a Jet fan.
Yeah.
What I do like... I like that we wake up with football at 9:30 Sunday morning. I do, because I'm up. I like that. That kind of gets the day off and running. So I don't mind that, but I'm not a Jet fan. That would annoy me if I was a Jet fan.
You mentioned that Falcon game. That the Falcons on television in Atlanta
Disgusting.
Is visually
tough
to watch.
I don't
want to
watch it.
It looks, the field looks terrible.
Couldn't
I don't
agree
know
with you
what
more.
Color that is.
Yeah.
It looks terrible.
I couldn't agree more.
But I found myself rooting for Heineke.
You were a Washington fan yesterday.
I was yesterday. I was rooting for Washington.
Okay.
I'm all over the place, Jerry. I'm just rooting.
Yes. You're just you're basically a 2021 sports fan.
Yeah, I'm like a young
kid,
Jerry. Jerry, I don't watch TV. I watch YouTube. I'm on TikTok. I'm doing all the things that young people do. I root for players.
You're on TikTok?
No.
Oh.
But I feel like if I was cool and young, I would be.
I suppose.
I like to root for...
Winners. You
winners
want winners.
As things are happening, Jerry, I hop on the Washington bandwagon.
Older guy who's still cool.
That's me.
That's what we try
Older
to do.
Older guy that's still cool.
Yeah.
That's what I do, Jerry.
I suppose. It was a good day. The late games were, they didn't interest me. I don't know why. What was funny about the late games? Did you think at any point the Steelers had any chance to beat the Packers? Did you think the Niners had any chance to beat the Seahawks as you're watching that game?
No.
The Rams gave you nothing.
Nothing.
which I thought was interesting. Oh, the Cardinals look really good. I know.
The
There's Cardinals. Your new team.
By the way, that was odd, too, because that was a game that I had that I did a same game parlay on and won.
Okay.
Because the Cardinals were getting were getting points. It's so weird.
Well, they were on the road, and I think people really thought that Stafford and the Rams were going to be this high-powered offense, which I did too, but they were stifled.
Yeah.
You mentioned, so you won your same game parlay. I'll tell you my loss in a second. What did you win?
I did four same game parlays.
Okay.
I lost two of them. I've done this every week now. Right. I've lost two each week, and I've won two, so I've come out on top.
Okay. So what did you win yesterday?
I took the Arizona Cardinals and the over.
Okay.
Which that was
Oh, that's
settled,
it, just a two thing.
Yeah, just two thing.
All right. How much you put? $30? $40?
$20.
What'd you win?
$71.
Not bad. And then what was the other one?
Then I took the Chiefs and the over as well.
Okay. And you won about $70 on that too?
Yep.
Not bad. I had the Cowboys -4.5. I had Ezekiel Elliott over 78.5 yards rushing, I think it was. And I had Amari Cooper at over 69.5. Receiving
69.
Yards. Yeah. Good on the first two. Amari Cooper finished with 3 catches and 69 freaking yards.
So you missed it by what, a yard?
Half a yard.
Half a yard.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
That sucks.
Yeah. See, that's the problem with the three.
That sucks.
Getting too involved.
I thought it was easy, though. I really did. And now I did not realize that Amari Cooper had a hamstring issue.
Oh.
Which I don't know if that happened in the first quarter. But he wasn't on the field as much as I would have anticipated him. But I thought Cooper, I don't know, I thought they'd be up and down the field with Carolina. And they did. They put up 36 points. Half yard.
Hmm. That's unfortunate.
Was the difference between, whatever.
What could you have won?
I don't remember.
$1 million?
No, it was not $1 million. Oh. Nope. I don't remember. It was a few hundred, though.
A few hundy?
Yeah, it was. Well, that one. And here's what made it worse.
What?
He had 69 yards receiving early in the third quarter.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Early in the third quarter,
you feel like you got that. Like when I saw the Rams and Cardinals going back and forth, I was like, I got the over already on this one.
Oh, I will tell you though, I do like. So my son's 17, and he'll be 17. I am very. I want to always make sure he understands how difficult gambling is because I see as some of his friends start getting into it a little bit, and I get it. That's fine. I mean, I did too a little bit when I was 17, but. We don't do that. We'll do the fantasy stuff. So anytime I screw up with the gambling, I make it very clear how hard it is. And so yesterday, my very clear how hard it is note was the Titans. He kept telling me, because if I were you, I'd take the Titans. They're a lock. So all afternoon, after the game is over, Titans, huh? Lock. Uh-huh. Take your lock and shove it. There are no locks.
Right. There are no locks,
you have
Jerry.
No idea. It is hard to do.
Very difficult.
All right, we're just getting started. 5:18. Shouldn't be difficult to get through the hour because we've got lots to talk about. Warm-up show until 6, Boomer and Geo. Then on the Fan, don't go away.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Hi, Bruce Springsteen with you on a Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? No, Monday. Wow. Monday morning, 5:25. I just wished us a Tuesday. I'm sorry. I can't wait for the Yankees. That's why. Warm-up show till the top of the hour.
By the way, Jerry, I consider last night's the Sunday night game, I consider that a W for Bill Belichick. That's a win.
They played well. They had a chance, too.
It's a win.
You know what I thought was interesting? I'm going to give you one before we do whatever we're going to do next. I'll give you one from Belichick, which I thought was a fair question because...
This post-game?
This is post-game. So they try a 56-yard field goal, and I know Folk hasn't missed in forever. I get it. But he's not a young guy. He doesn't have a 23-year-old leg. It's 56 yards. It's outside. It was gloomy. The air had to be slightly heavy.
It was drizzling, Jerry.
It was. And I think it was only 4th-and-3. I thought a very fair question, and, I mean, the answer I guess you would get from Belichick.
Was there any consideration of going for it on the 4th down when you kicked the field goal at the end?
Fair question, right? We wait.
I mean, not really.
That's it. Literally, that was it. He gave you nothing else.
Well, he does that for everything.
But I do think that that's a fair question in that spot. And
sure.
While he will give you really good answers depending upon what you're asking him, there are others that are just, he's not fair. Like, he gives you nothing. So, and I think you deserve, as a fan, you probably deserve, like, why didn't you think about going for it on 4th and 3?
Well, because he can't say, I don't fully trust my young quarterback yet, which is what everyone is saying.
But then give me something. You got to give me something. Yeah, you're right. You can't say that. But at least say, because Nick Folk hasn't missed in God knows how long, had every bit of confidence he was going to make that. Say that.
So the Buccaneers do win, but only 19-17.
And nothing.
Nothing exciting. First of all. I got sucked in to the pregame hype, and I was like, what's the spread?
Was it six and a half?
6.5 ago.
Yeah.
You're telling me, with all of this I'm watching right now, Tom Brady, the prodigal son, returns. Tom Brady's got 1,000, will probably throw for 1,000 yards tonight. Tom Brady, the Buccaneers are so much more talented than... I was like, that's a no-brainer.
You know where I changed my mind?
Down, Jerry.
Here's where I changed my mind.
Cash.
When Collinsworth and Michaels were on prior to the game starting, and Collinsworth said that Brady was misty-eyed.
Yeah.
The day before, and they hadn't even gone to New England yet.
Yeah.
And I sat there and said, I almost wonder what type of game he'll play. Like, it's got to be weird. I mean, you were there for 20 years. You won a lot. And now all of a sudden you're going into the building. You're in a different uniform. I did think it would, but I also thought as the game went on that they would find their stride.
Rhythm.
Yeah, and they never really did.
No.
There was not much to it.
That's why I count that as a win for Bill Belichick. Number one, Brady did not throw one touchdown pass.
No, nothing.
Zero.
He also missed almost half his passes.
Mm-hmm. That's right, Jerry. And Mac Jones threw the ball 40 times. Right. At one point, I was reading, Jerry, because I went back and had to watch the game and fast forward because I have to go to sleep. 19 consecutive passes
and that's
in a row. How
I thought you
that?
Saw something yesterday between
how about that?
Between Zach Wilson and Mac Jones. You see the future of the division.
Well, first of all,
better hope so. Anyway.
Oh, I wrote this down, Jerry. I did the math on it. Zach Wilson and Daniel Jones combined for 699 yards. Yeah.
Daniel Jones threw for 402.
402.
Yep.
You wouldn't have thought that on when we were here for on a football Friday.
You know what? Here's the thing. You're right, because people always thought that Jason Garrett doesn't allow him to throw.
Right.
The thing about Daniel Jones for his time here with the Giants, he's got the ability. The problem has been the turnovers, and they have screwed themselves in big moments this year, whether it was Washington, whether it was last week against Atlanta. Like, they haven't made winning plays when the game was there to be won. And so for a team that's 1-3... And ifs, buts, can't, all that crap. I get it. But seriously, they could be 3-1. But they screw themselves every week. So the fact that Daniel Jones threw it well yesterday doesn't surprise me at all. I just thought the fact that they came back from 11 down in the fourth quarter, that surprised me.
And who do the Giants have this week?
Cowboys. In Arlington.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting, because the Cowboys are actually playing well defensively. I know they gave up. How about this yesterday?
They gave up a lot of scrub.
Explain this to me, though. Yes and no. You're right, because they were up 36-14. Do you realize that 36-14, with almost a full quarter to go, they rested Trayvon Diggs for body management?
He was managing his body?
They legit said, this game's over. We're going to take some guys out of the lineup to rest them. And I'm thinking, huh?
I like it.
And then the Panthers go down and score, and we're thinking, all right, well, it's still 15. And then the Panthers score. There's still 4.5 minutes to go in the game. Now, the Cowboys were lucky in that they really ran it well yesterday, and the Panthers were out of timeouts, and they ran it down their throat to finish the game, and they never give them the ball back. But, like, you can't end a game in the fourth quarter. It's the NFL. 3 touchdowns. The game's not over. So that bothered me for sure. But that having been said, Diggs has 5 interceptions. He had 2 yesterday. Defensively, they crushed Sam Darnold. I mean, they really hit him, kind of like what the Jets did to Tannehill. So the Cowboys have played well defensively. I understand they gave up 28 points yesterday, but they really did play well defensively, and they can score a lot. So I think this game Sunday, Giants-Cowboys, is going to tell us a lot about the way the division's going to go.
I'm taking the over, Jerry.
Yeah, which probably means it'll be 13-10.
Whoosh.
No. You made a deal.
What was my deal?
You said the entire season you're taking whoever plays the Giants and the under.
No, I said until they proved me wrong.
Oh, so that did it yesterday?
Proved me wrong.
Okay.
By the way, Chris Collinsworth's son is on the broadcast on NBC.
I thought that was Saturday Night Live.
He sounds just like Chris Collinsworth.
He does. He does.
He says the same things, and he sounds just like him.
He looks like him.
Yes.
I actually thought it was a spoof. I thought they went and found a guy that looked and sounded just like his dad.
I vowed to know, and I did this all last year. I did not watch a single NFL pregame show. I wasn't having it, Jerry.
Okay. I did watch Boomer.
And I said it again for this year, but I was like, you know what? I want to get hyped for this Brady Belichick thing, so I put it on.
Were you one of those guys that saw Rodney Harrison with the umbrella?
No, yeah. I mean, Tony Dungy is a bore.
Yes, he is. I agree.
God.
And Breeze isn't very excited. No. He's fine. There's nothing wrong with him. But he's not lighting the world on fire.
And Chris Collinsworth's son is Chris Collinsworth Jr.
Pretty much.
Terrible. Those pregame shows are terrible. They really are terrible.
What do you want to do? See, that's the problem. You spent all this money on the rights, so you get this time to build in. How do you want to change it? I don't know what else you do.
Like last year, I vowed not to watch any of the pregames because I don't want to hear about kneeling and protest and all this stuff.
Well, you don't have that this year.
Right, but I enjoyed not having generic talk.
I do enjoy, I'm not going to lie to you, because I'm up early on Sunday morning. I love NFL Network at 9 a.m. I don't know why. It just gets me into the day with Eisen and Irvin and all those guys. For whatever reason, I do enjoy the 9. I watch it from like 9 to 10. Then I'm off it for a little while, and then I do put Boomer on, not for the full hour, but I do put the NFL Today on for a little while, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, Monday night, nothing.
I notice less and less players have messages on the back of their helmets. It used to be like everybody.
Wasn't even taking notice.
Now a lot of them just have the team name.
Okay.
I like the ones that just choose like something generic that goes, "It takes all of us." I like that one. That's the one
I
probably...
It takes two to tango?
It takes all of us, Jerry.
Yeah, I hear you.
It takes us
I will look this week. I was not aware of that. All right, we're going to take a break. 5:34. We got Boomer and Geo coming up at 6 o'clock. It is a big, we'll call it a Winter Monday. That's right. We haven't had many of those. It's a Winter Monday here on The Fan. I had a very strange dream overnight. I want to know, you want me to wait for the podcast or do it, ask you what you think of it now? Because we still got to do the Yankees. We have the warm-up show. We got like 15 minutes left. Do the Yankees do it on the podcast?
Yeah.
You got to remind me, though.
Dream in the podcast.
A very, very odd dream.
That's a good tease, Jerry.
I almost died.
I could have died.
I could have. All right.
You die in your dreams. You really die in your bed.
So I didn't.
Well, then that's because you almost died.
But I didn't, right, but correct. You didn't. I came through.
All right. Well, that's a good tease for the podcast,
Jerry. Has to do with a car, a bomb,
Wow,
and a lake.
Wow. A car, a bomb, and a lake.
Yes. So please remind me later on the podcast.
It's the Alan Jerry post-game podcast. Google it and find it wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app.
There you go.
I was happy to see Ken Singleton announced his retirement from broadcasting, Jerry. He is 74 years old. Thank you, Ken, for doing the right thing.
And still on top of his game.
Yeah, they're like, what if we begged you to do another year? No,
I like Ken Singleton. I'm glad that he went out on his own terms.
Me too. And I'm glad he went out at 74. A young 74. They don't have anybody.
He is a young 74.
Like, how about this, Yankees? Get a player who didn't play in the 90s.
They're probably still playing.
No, I'm saying players who played in the 90s.
Oh,
are not
you said
still
they
playing.
Didn't play in the 90s. I thought you said.
No, I'm saying someone.
Well, they have Paul O'Neill there. They have David Cohn there.
But they played in the 90s.
Right. So I said if they played in the 2000s, they might still be playing.
21 years. We're in 2021.
They had Rivera there Friday night. What'd you think of him?
Bore. Absolute
bore. So they did what you wanted.
Yeah.
And you didn't like him. Hence why Ken Singleton still has the job.
By the way, I'm so glad you brought that up because. If you go back to...
I agree, it wasn't great.
He didn't... I actually want to go back and listen to Mariano Rivera.
Yes.
I am convinced he didn't even know anything about the players he was being asked about.
That's possible.
He gave the most... Oh, he's a very good player. Generic. So, Ken Singleton, thank you for stepping aside at 74 and let a nice young man take over. Like, I'm sure they'll announce somebody who's in their late 60s to take
over. I don't know about that. I mean, I think, you've got David Cohn.
Okay.
You've got Paul O'Neill.
Right.
So, those guys aren't, but they're not 60s either.
Right.
I mean, Paul O'Neill is not much older than you and I.
Well,
he's not.
Paul O'Neill?
I guess no, I mean, he's got to be in his early 50s, right?
Yeah.
I would think. So he's still in the prime age of broadcasters, I would say.
Yeah.
So here would be the question. Who would you want from the Yankees? Who do you want? Mark Teixeira?
No.
Do you want A-Rod? A-Rod would be a good one.
You're on the Mark Teixeira?
I mean, tell me.
You're right. I don't know.
You want Jason Giambi?
I got to look into it.
Right.
I got to look into it.
And again, you brought this point up, and I think you're dead on about this. You're talking about a generation now where the money got so stupid. Do you really think you're going to get a guy that made $100 million or more to want to do the grind of being a TV analyst now?
You're right.
It's not that
you're
easy.
Right, Jerry. It is a grind. This Gio Urshela made a catch yesterday, Jerry, where he went running for a foul ball, caught it, and then fell into the dugout.
With the umpire, right?
Was that Joe West? And the umpire went tumbling in, which didn't really get talked about.
Well, but the video is out there on social media.
Oh, he flipped right over the umpire.
Pretty funny, yes.
And then I think he milked it a little bit, Gio Urshela, when he came out limping all the way back to the Yankees dugout. Oh, look at me. I'm like Jeter.
Yeah, except Jeter was bloodied.
Is that right?
He did that. I'll never forget. He did that against the Red Sox, that catch when he went into the, you know, into the stands.
Head first,
made the catch. And I was actually filling in for Beningo overnight that night. I was taking calls from Yankee fans that were telling me that Derek Jeter was acting selfish. He's got to have more self-preservation.
Yeah.
We need him. How can he go out and get injured on a foul ball?
I was like,
I mean, this guy's giving you 100% every step of the way. I couldn't believe it. Was one of those nights where you figure the night's easy. I think if I remember correctly, the Yankees won. Maybe they lost. I don't remember. But he makes this amazing play, and you're thinking, this Yankee fans are going to be psyched. And it went the complete opposite direction, where they were like, he was being selfish. Pretty funny.
Then I saw Aaron Boone went running into the Rays dugout to see if Urshela was right. If I was the Rays, I'd be like, get out of our dugout.
Well, he didn't do it on purpose. They walked into the dugout and asked for a cup of coffee.
No, I would have not let Aaron Boone in my dugout. But like, he's fine.
Yeah.
Get out of our dugout.
You suck. Get out.
I'll let the trainers in here, but no Aaron Boone.
Then you would have had a brawl, a real brawl.
A brouhaha.
You could have had that.
A brouhaha. Jerry.
It was a weird weekend, though, for the Yankees.
It was, because they looked like terrible Friday, Saturday.
Crushed on Friday and Saturday.
I know, and I was watching. Some dude I never heard of hit 2 3-run home runs in the same game.
You talking about Brandon Lau?
And then he hit a third home run, didn't he?
You really never heard of him? Why am I asking you? Of course not.
I don't know who that is, Jerry.
You do, but if you watch a little bit, you would. You really would.
The short porch.
They had a guy at one point, they had Nate Lowe and Brandon Lau on the same team.
Lowe and Lau?
And it was spelled the same way, L-O-W-E.
Is that right?
Yes.
Low, and one was Lowe, one was Lau.
Correct. Lowe Lau.
Then I thought...
I have those names right.
I thought Gronk kind of wussed out.
He didn't even make the trip?
Didn't make the trip. That's New England. Put on a flap jacket or whatever they call, flak jacket, whatever they call those things.
Yes.
Rib protectors, and get out
there. He also had a punctured lung.
Whatever that
means. He's got a punctured lung.
I don't know what that means.
Maybe the rib punctured the lung. He might not play for a couple weeks. But I'm with you that he should have been there.
Yes.
At least at the very least, be in the suite.
Right.
And let him put you on camera and either get booed or cheered.
Or be there for Brady.
I agree. Put on
a mink coat.
I do not disagree with you at all.
Stand on the sidelines.
Will they do their thing sitting by the little swimmy pool this week have their conversation?
Is that what they do this every week now?
I don't know.
Oh.
Last time they did it was by a swimmy pool by the Bucks facility.
And I did see Katie Nolan actually had a good tweet. I'm sure many others had similar things about the very brief hug that Brady and Belichick had,
which is more than I expected. Actually,
you didn't think they were going to hug.
We talked about this last week.
It was quick.
You actually were even wondering if they would even have any type of encounter.
Katie Nolan tweeted that it looked like the type of hug that you give a guy at the end of a date when you know there's not going to be a second date.
Sure.
Gone.
Yeah.
But then I guess
But that's Belichick. Anybody that thought you were getting anything more is out of their mind.
But then I guess he did go into the locker room.
Right.
He chased down Brady into the locker room, and they met for like 20 minutes.
What have we always said about Belichick?
Man meeting.
Belichick is not the guy you see at these press conferences. And he's not the guy you see publicly out in the middle of the field. I'm telling you, he's just a weirdo with that stuff. For whatever reason. When producing for Joe, when he was supposed to have Parcells on, believe it or not, back in the day when Parcells was supposed to be the Pro Bowl coach, and then he backed out of it, and then Belichick took over for him because he was the defensive coordinator at the time and decided he was going to be the head coach. So Joe tried to, I shouldn't say that. Joe wasn't going to get Parcells out. Once Parcells backed out of coaching the Pro Bowl and Belichick got the gig and stepped in for him, we tried to get Belichick on to where he said he would come on but didn't know when because of the time difference. 5:02 in the morning, the phone's ringing, and it was Belichick. And he called in live, and he could not have been nicer. Now, I know he's called in the past. Ernie Acosta picked up the phone, who used to produce for Joe and Evan, and he tried to say hello to him, and he was like, is Joe there or not? I did not have that experience. Mine was very pleasant with Belichick the one time he called, and he couldn't have been nicer. So, I don't know. And Craig always tells the stories about playing bocce ball with him and what a different guy he was. So,
but he doesn't remember Craig.
And so he says. I don't believe that.
I saw the interaction.
Don't believe that.
Didn't look
at
like
at the very
he knew
moment,
him.
Maybe, but I'm sure he would remember if you actually explained it to him.
I suppose, Jerry. Monday Night Football tonight, Jerry. My L.A. Chargers, one of the many teams I root for.
Against?
The Raiders.
That game starts at 8:15. How much of that
I'm not
going to
see. I'm going to see it. I'll see that the next morning.
Right.
And then tomorrow night. So no Yankee game tonight, Jerry. They play tomorrow night in Boston.
So you're not going to watch the Knicks-Pacers tomorrow night?
No.
Preseason basketball?
No chance.
You know the Nets played a game yesterday? They played the Lakers at 3:30 on a football Sunday with the final day of the baseball season.
No one's watching that.
I think that was on the Yes stream only.
On the Yes app.
I know.
Garrett Cole, Jerry. We expect big things from him tomorrow night. What do you expect? You need 8 innings from him.
No, but
7.
No, but see, this again comes back to our conversation. He doesn't need to guarantee a win. He doesn't have to go out and throw a no-hitter. But Garrett Cole has to go out tomorrow night and give you 6 or 7 innings of like one-run ball. That's it. Go pitch like an ace. Now, if he gives you 8 scoreless innings.
Oh, Jerry.
Well, that's great. This comes back to our conversation last week. You're not asking him to go a perfect game, but you got to pitch like an ace pitcher, and it can't be 4-0 in the second inning tomorrow night.
It better not be.
Yes, exactly. Exactly the point, Al. Exactly.
Do you think we're going to walk in here on Wednesday with a Yankee win?
What's that?
I said, do you think we're going to walk in here, Jerry, Wednesday at 5 a.m.?
Well,
after a
to be
Yankee
fair,
win.
To be fair, I thought the Yankees were, I really thought they were going to sweep Tampa this weekend. Mm. So I was on the Yankee bandwagon. I can tell you right now, my pick will be Boston.
Oh, no.
That can change between now and tomorrow night. As I sit here today, I'm taking the Red Sox.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know why. It's just a feeling.
Whoa.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. We'll get you to Boomer and Geo. Right now, however, though, an Odyssey Sports Minute brought to you by Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey. Her name is Amy Lawrence. His name is Tom Brady.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, we've got a couple more minutes. Yankees win. They'll play the Red Sox tomorrow night at Fenway. Giants win. Jets win. And that's called a winner Monday, Al.
Jerry, do you like Taysom Hill or do you find him annoying?
I find him annoying. That said, a hell of a couple of runs.
Yeah, but that was that a hell of a run or terrible tackling by the Giants?
Well, I think it's both, but I don't think that the terrible tackling happens if you're not running as hard as he was.
Every time I see him do something good, yeah. I think that's what people wanted Tim Tebow to be.
Yeah, you're right about
that. That fella.
Yeah, that's probably true. It was never used properly.
I don't trust him to throw an accurate deep ball downfield.
The only thing about it, though, and they used him again around the 2-yard line or the 3-yard line. I forget where it was. It's like once he comes, you know he's getting the ball, though.
Right.
And we don't watch it enough. Perhaps they use him as a decoy, but it seems like anytime he comes in, and maybe the defense isn't aware that he's actually there. Maybe that's part of it. But it's like watching it on TV, you're like, all right, well, he's going to take the snap and he's going to run right.
Then the other thing, last night watching the Patriots-Bucks game, someone on the Patriots, I can't remember who it was, the wide receiver who they had throw the ball once.
Right.
And then they had him attempt another pass. And now Michaels just keeps going, he was a high school quarterback. Yeah, Jerry, you were a high school quarterback, too.
Doesn't mean I could throw in the NFL.
Oh, my.
That is true. And plus, it was freshman year. I mean, let's be honest.
Right. Anyone could throw a football if you're a football player.
But can you throw it with precision?
No.
That's right, exactly.
You know who was a good thrower, Jerry? Walter Payton.
Was he?
Oh, a couple times.
The best.
A couple times the Bears had him throwing bombs. That's right.
I don't know that I ever remember him doing that. I'm sure you do. You're probably a Bears fan back then.
101.9 FM HD1, New York.
An Odyssey station.
The Fan is on your smart speaker. To listen to the home of New York sports,
just say, hey Siri, play WFAN.